It is 9:30, and so with that being said, if you would, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come at this time, and we are truly thankful to be able to come and approach your throne of mercy and grace, and to give you the praise and the glory and the worship that you so truly deserve. Father, we're thankful for this day, the fact that you woke us up. You've given us a sound mind and the abilities to make it here to this place that we have set aside for worship to you. It's our prayer that you would open our hearts and our minds and that we will be readily receptive to your word, and that you would just bless me, the speaker, as I give back to them the things that I've studied and read in a way that they would understand. And Father, if you would, we ask that you would bless us in such a way that we would apply those things to our lives, that we'll be better going forward than we have been in the past. We ask that you'll forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, that our studies this morning would not be hindered. And we pray for those that may not have made it but may be en route, that you would give them safe passage. And we ask this prayer and all other prayers in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, so I have been tasked this morning with leading this section of the class in the spiritual warfare class. And so, let me just say this too. I say I've been tasked. You know, last week, if you all recall, Brother Todd had told us that he was going to be in the other class this morning, teaching back there, and he needed a speaker. And right away, my hand went up. Okay? And I'm looking like, what are you doing? Okay? But as the week progressed, I realized that it probably was not me that raised my hand so quickly. Because he told me afterwards, man, I barely got it out of my mouth and your hand went up. Okay? But I learned as the week progressed that it was probably more the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because of the things that I have encountered over the course of the last year or two. I have found myself in deep prayer over the last, well, for a long time. But over the last couple of years, I have been in deep prayer. And I say that because, as you all saw last week, my twin brother was here, who is battling cancer. I have two other cousins who just recently had surgery to remove cancer and deal with cancer. I have a cousin who is much, much younger than me, who last week had open heart surgery. And so what I have been doing for the last couple of months is I have been in constant Zoom meetings with family all across the nation, California, Virginia, Texas, Oklahoma. I have been in Zoom meetings on a regular basis with family members. Not to mention the issues with my mother and her, you know, as she's aging, she's issues with memory. It's been a whirlwind. And really, to be honest with you, prayer is what is holding me up. It's not just sustaining me. This very moment right now, it's prayer that's holding me up. And I don't say that as a victim this morning. I'm saying that so you can understand that I am victorious because I trust the word of God. I trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And I trust the one that he has sent to us in the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today in today's lesson. This section of the spiritual warfare lesson is over prayer. Okay? And keep in mind the emphasis is coming from the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and in particular verse 12. You know, and as I was preparing for the class this week and looking at that, you know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. You know, when we think about that, the devil is the ruler of this world here on, you know, on earth was what I'm referring to. And he has a lot of princes, demons, minions, if you will. And the spiritual warfare that we are in, whether we like it or not, is what's going on in other places. But we have the opportunity to carry certain things out. We have the opportunity to believe certain things. And so we're going to talk about this stuff as we move through this lesson here. But understand that the devil is not going to always walk up to us and tell us, hey, who he is. Nor will we always easily see his tricks, his little schemes, if you will. And so when we talk about prayer, what is prayer to you? Because prayer can be a multitude of things to different people. I just want to get a couple of opinions. So if I can, now I may ask you a question, and that's just who I am. I teach on a regular basis over at the college, and so I tend to engage my students because I learn from them also. So just a couple of comments. What is prayer to you? Yes. When you can talk to God, very good, very good. Anybody else got anything different than that? Yes.
Well, my prayer to God happens at various times.
Yes.
I would be sitting outside and there was opportunities around me and I'll talk to God, tell him how thankful I am.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yes, very good. And both of you are very, you're exactly right. And it speaks directly to what we're going to be talking about. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, which is what you're talking about. And Brother Neil, you talked about your communication with the Lord for whatever reasons. And so, you know, that's what prayer is. You know, let me see if I... Uh-oh, going the wrong way. I got a backup here, but y'all can't see it. Oh, can you get down to slide like 42? I think that's the problem. You're starting at the very beginning. We don't want to do that. Yes, there you go. So, communicating with God about a variety of things all the time. That's what the Bible tells us. Pray without ceasing. And I used to struggle with that. Lord, how am I going to pray to you when I'm driving? How am I going to pray to you when I'm at work? But things come up throughout the day, and we should always be in the Spirit. And we'll talk a little bit about that, because being in the Spirit and able to pray to God is something that we should be doing on a regular basis, okay? And so when we look at, can y'all see that? Okay, yes. So the one weapon that we need to fight any battle is prayer. I don't care what the battle is, you need prayer, okay? And the thing about it is, Here's the beauty about prayer. When we consider, as you see this soldier here, he has his helmet, his breastplate, the belt, the sword, the shoes, and all of that. Depending on where you are in life, it can become cumbersome to wear all that gear. Okay? We encourage to wear it, but that helmet may get heavy. Brother Jim, you know as I know, when we put on that bunker gear to go fight fire, you know, you're putting on an additional 47 pounds. And then you're picking up additional equipment to go in and address this beast. And it can be cumbersome. You have to be in shape. You have to be prepared. But the beauty about prayer is this. It don't take a lot of work to pray. All it takes is practice. And Jesus told him in the book of Matthew over there, chapter 6, I believe it is, how to pray. And let's turn over there, if you will. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to just, so that y'all don't accuse me or tell Brother Gray we didn't have no scripture, we'll go to scripture here. And Matthew 6, Jesus is telling them, let's look at verse number. If you beat me over there to where he talks about the prayer, verse 9, can you read that for me?
Pray then in this way.
Okay, that's good. Pray then in this way. Look at what Jesus is doing. He's giving us instructions on how to pray. Now, we won't pray exactly like he did or whatever, but he's given us a foundation on how to address God, our Father, and how to pray and communicate with him, making our requests known. Okay? And he goes as far in there, if we'd allowed Larry to continue to read, he says, go into a closet. You know, we don't want to be all out trying to be seen and everything. But do we always go in a closet to pray? And so, no, we don't. But what he's referring to is whatever it is that you're going to God about, it's private. It's between you and God. Everybody don't need to know everything that I'm praying about. But God needs to know that I have some concerns. I have some requests. Okay? And I have up there, the devil is relentless. He will never stop. If we were to look at Luke 4:13, and you don't have to go there, but over there, Jesus was tempted multiple times by the devil. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? And Jesus eventually defeated the devil. But what did he defeat him with? He defeated him with the word. He was in the Spirit. His life was aligned with the word of God, and so he was able to remember what the word of God said. He told the devil, he defeated the devil. And the Bible there says that the devil left him for a season. That's what that word relentless is up there for. The devil is relentless. He may leave you for a season, but trust that he will be back. You see, we are always going into or in the middle of or coming out of a battle with the devil, spiritually speaking, always. And so we have to always be ready, always be prepared, and just remember that the devil is not going to give up. The devil don't care how long you've been in this spiritual battle or this spiritual walk. He is going to come at you. He's going to fight you. He's going to try to win. And his battle with you and with us is until we die. And if you notice up there, the last passage I have up there, Revelation 12:10, he is constantly accusing us. He's trying to win it every way possible, and he's constantly accusing us of sin to God. Not only is he trying to trip us up, he wants God to know and see when we have sinned and fallen short. He's reminding God that each and every one of us is not worthy of his goodness and his grace. And so we have to continue to fight, continue to be ready. And so, moving to the next slide. Let's see if, there we go. So what is prayer? We already talked about it. It's our way of communicating with God. And I just gave you a definition out of one of the Bible. New Testament meaning prayer is addressed to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ as the mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. So now you see all parts working in our prayer. We're addressing God. He's the source. We're then, and it's done through the mediator, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And then we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so that is what prayer is. But I also got something up there. And I know some of you all are familiar with AC/DC, and we're not going there. That's not the AC/DC that I'm referring to. That's up there to place emphasis on the constant flow of information that occurs when we pray. So watch this. There in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Why is that important? Well, there's a couple of causes that God had. The material cause regarding the body. What is the body composed of? The Bible says God took dust from the ground and created us. Okay? And I don't want to diminish the value of our bodies, because our bodies are the temple for God, of God, okay? That's where the Spirit dwells within us. But the emphasis here in this context is not the body, okay? Then there's the formal or the efficient cause, which we're referring when we talk about the Spirit. And so now you're starting to see the why. So that we can interact and to become agents of change. Okay? We're starting to see the why now, the purpose. And finally, when you look at the soul, the final cause, man became a living soul. Well, when you think about it, if I plant a seed, what's the expectation? The expectation is that it would grow and it would blossom and it would mature and it would produce whatever it is that I'm seeking to gain from that seed. And that's the reality with us and the Lord. When you consider purpose, purpose has an original intent with an end expectation or an end goal. I think that's my next slide. If I'm not, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. So that now we're talking about the purpose. And if you look there to the right, the original intent with an end expectation. God does nothing for nothing. He created us for a reason, for a purpose. That we would become change agents for him and for his purpose. And so when Donnell Go to God in prayer privately or at times corporately. I am speaking to God, and there's that constant flow of information. AC/DC, you know, AC is that alternating current, and that DC is that direct current. And that direct current, for some of you electricians, y'all know this better than I do. But you know, this is how I've always understood it and made it easy for me, because I'm kind of simple. But directly means it's coming from God. Alternate, it's back and forth. Changes sometimes, reverse. That refers to us. We kind of like that. But the truth of the matter is, when I am in my private time with God in prayer, I am hopeful that the lines of communication are wide open and that the current flow is there and it's constant. And listen, that is not the body. The body is going back to the ground at my death. The spirit is going to go back to the one who gave it to me, which happens to be God. He gave me this so that I can communicate with him. But the soul, the desires, my imaginations, my personality, my characteristics, this is what's communicating with him. So it's not just an insignificant conversation that I'm having. My desires are speaking to God. My emotions are speaking to God. He's, you know, and as long as everything is according to his will, then that he's going to do his part. And then my prayers can be answered. Okay? And so when we talk about prayer, now we're starting to see the significance of it, the beauty of it. It's not just, and I'll use you, Brother Neil, because you said communication. You know, it's not just you and God just having how you doing, you know. No, this is your inner being, your inner self, and him talking. This is the part of you that will be judged that is communicating with the Creator. And his purpose is that you will become the change agent that he will have you to be. You will do the things that he will have you to do. And when you are in line with his will, the communication goes up and the blessings come down. Amen? Amen. All right. Y'all got to excuse me now, because see, I'm in the teaching mode now. And so I may occasionally say amen. And all amen simply means is, I don't want to get you too excited or none of that. But the thing about it, just in agreement. And I just happen to be in agreement with the word of God. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes.
He addressed that. But I think that's what keeps us close to God, is that regardless of how we address and how we deal with our prayer with God, it keeps us in allegiance with him.
Yes.
As opposed to without prayer, we get further and further away from God. I've heard people say, well, I just don't feel that close to God. And my question is, so who's moving?
Right.
We can move closer or further away, but I think the stronger our prayer life is, the stronger and closer to God we can be.
I agree with you 100%. And you did, number one, the Bible tells us, draw nigh unto me. and I'll draw nigh unto you. So God is basically saying in his word, if you will draw nigh to me, if you'll come close to me, I'll come closer to you. Okay, so you're exactly right. And then the other thing that Brother Jim pointed out is there's a multitude of or types of prayer. Okay, and you mentioned your prayer of thanksgiving, and then sometimes we get frustrated, you know, and then also there's a prayer that when they wanted God to execute punishment on their enemies, it's called, who knows the name of that? Precatory? It's a name for it, and I'll have to get it so that you all don't think I'm up here just throwing some stuff out at you. But there is a name to that, and there's a variety of reasons why I go to God in prayer. Remember the Zoom meetings that I had. Well, it's not in conflict that we're supposed to pray for them, because we are supposed to do that. But that back in the time and in biblical days, they were praying against the enemy. You know, in other words, when they were getting ready to go into war, Lord, you're going to be with me. You're going to help me. In order to do that, you're going to have to get rid of my enemy. And so that's what I'm referring to right there. You want to pray for them that, hey, I much rather my enemy, treat me in a certain way, respectful, and let's reconcile whatever. But then again, everybody don't want to do that. They want to bring harm to you, hurt to you, da 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 da. And so sometimes, or when I'm referring to back then, they were praying in that manner, because, you know, and they may not be in where they needed to be spiritually. We're not always where we need to be spiritually. If we're honest and transparent with ourselves, we do and say some things sometimes that is not in alignment with the word of God, if we're honest, okay? And so that may be an opportunity where we need to pray even harder for us, okay? But you're exactly right there, I think I told one of you in here this morning, I left one of my pages of my notes, and that page that I left has the list of the different types of prayers. And I had listed at least 10 types of prayers. And that one that we're talking about now is one of them. Okay. So prayer in the Bible is how the believers of God talk to him. It's how they make their praise and requests known. And it is to crying out to God and asking for his strength, his guidance, healing. And that's what I've been doing in these Zoom meetings, is I've been praying for family members for their healing. And to this day, my brother, when he first was told about his cancer, he was told he had about 3 to 5 years. And this is my identical twin brother. Those of you met him know, and we're just as close, if not closer, as we look alike, okay? And so that's my best friend, besides my wife and my mother, then there's him, okay? And so I'm on audio, I got to But now, here's the reality. Let me say this. When he hurt, I hurt. Know that. When he hurt, I hurt. When he's laying there, I feel. And so all I can do is pray sometimes. And that's truly what I mean when I say that is what's holding me up. What he don't need to see in his hour of distress is he don't need to see me hurting and crying and feeling what I really feel. I need to show him God. So prayer is what holds me up. Okay. So next slide. So what do we do? Brother Todd has been talking to us, and this slide is one that he uses, and it's praying always, which I think, you know, you gave us a beautiful example of that. There's so much going on in the course of the day. From the time I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the floor to the time I go to bed at night, my attitude changes. Circumstances come up, situation. I didn't mention the fact that my youngest son, D, who some of you know, is talking and contemplating marriage. Prayer. Okay? Not from a negative, but just, you know, when that happens, you know, Dad, can you be my best man? Best man? Is that what we are now? But life, okay? And the reality is, you know, I tell him and been telling him for a long time, man, if you're going to have a relationship, you have to be, it has to be aligned with the Word of God. So that's what I really want, for him to be aligned with the Word of God. But when you tell me, ask me, am I going to be your best man? Whoa, is it already? You know what I mean? And so it's a multitude of feelings and emotions that we go through the course of a day. And so that's why we need to pray always, and always being in prayer, which always, everything that I do and say and my thoughts and everything needs to be aligned with the Word of God. Because when I turn the corner and I'm confronted with this or I'm confronted with that, I have the opportunity to be anything but God. And so walking in the Spirit, keeping my life aligned, my thoughts, my emotions aligned with the Word of God. Ephesians 6:18. And then he goes on, he says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, here we want to be continuing a cause of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. As I can remember as far back as probably 18, possibly 20, when I gave my life to Christ. I'm 60 now. 40 years. I have found out in the course of these 40 years that there's going to be some difficulties in this walk. And I struggle from time to time, if I'm honest. But at the same time, I know that over the course of 40 years, God and His Word and the Holy Spirit has transformed me. Even to the point that I am publicly speaking on His behalf. If we are honest, we are growing and we are aging, and it becomes harder and harder to deal with some of life's circumstances. 10 people shot and killed in L.A. yesterday. Guy walks into Walmart and shoot the place up in Indiana a couple of days ago. Every day, there's an active shooter situation in this country. And I know in your mind's eye, you're thinking, no, that's not true. Anytime somebody pulls a gun on somebody, is that not a... That's an active shooter situation. And it occurs more than we know, even to the extent that a 6-year-old went to school and shot a teacher. A 6-year-old. So the spiritual warfare that we're talking about is things that the devil is doing in the heavenlies, in the high places to help those individuals, us, down here on this earth, to carry out His will. And so that struggle that I'm talking about the difficulty, we may not always see it coming. And even in the fact that we are where we are in life right now, it's a great opportunity right now to talk about retirement. But in this plan, there's no retirement. There's a retirement plan called eternity, but eternity is going to be whatever that, you know, if, and I was going to do this, but I said, no, I better not do that. I might get some folk upset. But I was going to hand out evaluation forms. Performance appraisal. What would the performance appraisal do for you or to you if you had to submit it to the big supervisor today? Would it be, would let me get honest. Okay, so would the job competency, the productivity, the quality of your work, the level of your responsibility, your relationships with others, your ability to adapt and the resources that you provide, your conduct, your training, your attendance, punctuality, would the end result be unsatisfactory, needs improvement, meets expectations, or exceed expectations? Would there be a need for you to comment, Lord, listen here, I know I didn't hit it, but the mark like you wanted me to, but can you understand, will you need to write a couple of comments? And so, well done. That's all I want to hear. And, you know, in preparing this lesson, Brother Todd and I, we laughed about that very passage. Because here's what I want you to dwell on for just a second. Not long, because it's frightening if you dwell on it any longer. What if you heard anything but that? What if your performance in the eyes of the one and only true living God does not meet expectations? That's your homework this week. Dwell on that. Yes. Amen. Compel. And very good. You're in my notes. So watch this. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved us. The fact that he went to that cross and everything. But let me ask you this. Are you not grateful enough to carry out that attitude that you talked about? And you're exactly right what you're saying right there. Okay? There should be a level of gratification that we have because we have been saved by grace through Christ Jesus. And because of that, we should have a level of gratitude that says no matter what goes on, no matter what difficulty I face, I am going to walk according to his word and his will. Amen. Very good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that the more I pray to God, the more I don't want to disappoint. And it's like all relationships in our life. If I want to have a good relationship, mm-hmm. with my
Y'all, in my notes, you know, last night, before I went to bed, I called my mother, and we had prayer before she went to bed. And the reason I do that, the reason I run back and forth across town, leave work and go to her house, before I go to work, go to her house and everything, is because I don't want to upset her. I don't want to disappoint her. She's gotten to a point in life now where she needs more of my help than I need of hers. I'm obligated. She took care of me for all those years. And now it's time for me to do my part. You know, but I don't have to look far to see that some people struggle with that concept. Everybody don't operate in that mode. And so you're exactly right, and Jim is exactly right. The gratitude expresses our attitude, how we feel about a living God who would love us so much that before he even created us, he had a plan to redeem us back to him, that whereby we would live with him throughout all eternity. I'm going to create you. I know you're going to mess up, but you know what? When you mess up, here's a plan, and I'm going to scoop you back up, and you're going to be with me forever. We're his greatest creation. And he expressed that by having a plan in place for when we mess up. So, why wouldn't I want to pray to him, communicate with him on a regular basis? And every time we communicate with him, it should encourage us and it should strengthen us. When you're in those frustrating moments, after a conversation with him, you get up and amen, and boom, some, for whatever reason, the frustration tends to leave. It may not go away right away, but he comes through and he does what he says he'll do. Okay? So, and then we're to pray for each other that we can be a faithful witness to the Lord. And you know, this one here, I said I wanted to read this one aloud. So let me flip over there to, if I have time. And you know what? Y'all gonna have to bear with me because it don't look like, well, we close. Okay. I'm going to have to rush after I do this one. But what is that? Colossians. If you beat me to Colossians 1:9, go ahead and start reading. But I got it. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so the point that I want to drive home in this passage is, since the day you heard, since the day you gave your life to Christ, and then nowhere else do we talk about or in the Bible talk about the end other than death. So since the day we began, we've been given our marching orders, and it's until we end, okay? Keep that in mind. All right, no retirement. And I'm sorry I have to give you that information that there's no retirement. But then looking ahead, I'm going to try to get through this one right here. Praying in the Spirit. How do we pray in the Spirit? Here we see Paul talking to them over there at Galatia. And they're going back and forth between the law and grace, okay? There it says in verse 5, those who walk in the Spirit eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. I'll come back to that. And those who pray in the Spirit, we're free from the law. Those who walk in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Kind of what you was talking about, your gratification and everything. You don't want to upset the Lord, your family, so forth. Then the flesh, our fallen nature, is under the power of sin, is in direct conflict with the spirit. Okay. I run out of time. But what I would like to say to you is this. Prayer is significant. It's a weapon that has been given to us. It doesn't require a lot of work, but it does require practice. And hopefully in this lesson, we're encouraged more so than ever to pray on a regular basis, not just for ourselves, but for each other. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes.